Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Micro X Limited Quarterly Investor Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Peter Rowland, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Amanda. Welcome, everyone. I'm Peter Rowland, and I'm pleased to welcome you all today to Micro X's March quarter investor call. The format for the call will, as usual, include an overview of our operations and financial matters for the quarter ending March 2021, which we outlined in our Appendix 4C filed with the ASX yesterday. We'll then open up to questions and answers, and for those that are not able to attend, a recording of this call will be on our website shortly. We hope that this format continues to provide you with additional information about the company and also the opportunity to better engage with us and hear about our progress. Now, before we begin, I'd like to welcome our Chief Financial Officer, Kingsley Hall, who's with me here on the call today.
Thanks, Peter. Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to be speaking with you all today. Before we start, I would like to cover off on one brief formality. I'd like to remind those on the call that today's call may contain forward-looking statements which involve inherent risks and uncertainties. Those risks and uncertainties include those disclosed in our ASX lodgements, which we recommend that you review. While there are reasonable grounds for any forward-looking statements made today, due to their inherent uncertainties, we recommend that you do not place undue reliance on those statements, and you note that actual results may, of course, differ materially from those forward-looking statements. Now I'll hand back to you, Peter, to run through the highlights for the quarter.
Thanks, Kingsley. Before I begin with the activities for the quarter, I think it's important to highlight the strong position that we are now in to move forward, achieved by two key elements this quarter, which have really laid the foundations for us. Firstly, in early March, we were able to cement the final component of our long-term strategy of a four-product manufacturing commercialization for our cold cathode technology. This occurred with the award of $8 million for our segment of the Australian Stroke Alliance's grant from the Medical Research Future Fund, which will fund us to commence our Brain Tomo project for in-ambulance stroke diagnosis. This is potentially a $25 billion market opportunity. Our second key achievement was the well-supported $34 million capital raise in February. This has allowed us to repay Thales and chart our own more rapid and lower-cost path to market with the ID X-ray camera product, which we plan to be showcasing with customers later this year. For the first time in our history, we now have a very strong balance sheet to execute our plans over coming years and a foundation from which to grow towards our goal of becoming an ASX 300 company. I will now run through our current progress across our four product lines in order of commercial readiness before moving to the corporate matters and then the highlights for the quarter. As announced in our activity statement for the quarter, our mobile DR range generated sales of $750,000 this quarter, which was all through our non-exclusive OEM distributor. These nano sales for medical bedside imaging were to a number of European, Asian, and North American destinations, including Italy, the U.K., Germany, South Korea, and various cities in the United States. Since the start of April, we have received a further $200,000 of orders, which will form part of our revenues for the June quarter. Thanks to our preparations for rapid delivery, all of these orders were turned around within a matter of days. Although we maintained similar totals of nano sales in both the December 2020 and March 2021 quarters, there's actually been a noticeable increase in the sales run rate over recent weeks, and there is some optimism that the market is now recovering from the post-COVID oversupply. It's encouraging that the countries which bought the most nanos this time last year are now specifically seeking additional nano units, emphasizing the importance of a strong initial install base to developing sales penetration. We continue to progress discussions with potential global distribution partners for the mobile DR product, and now integration and assessment activities are well progressed. Unfortunately, COVID restrictions continue to hamper access to U.S. Army bases, and planned product demonstrations and evaluations have again been deferred. We are working with our advisors in Washington, D.C. on a congressional strategy for funding, and the establishment of our new U.S. office will greatly assist with this. To accelerate Rover's sales efforts, our product specialist has been relocated from Australia to the U.S. to boost commercial sales activities in both military and non-military applications. We've also appointed a non-exclusive marketing agent for the Rover, who specializes in distributing medical devices across the U.S. network of Veteran Affairs hospitals and medical centers. The appointment will help us tap into a sizable market covering over 1,200 healthcare facilities, which serve over 9 million enrolled military veterans each year. And this sales agent will also provide on-ground sales and technical support. On the regulatory front, we are one step closer to filing our CE mark application after undertaking our MDR audit in March here in Tonsley. This audit is a prerequisite to achieving accreditation under the EU's new medical device regulations and also to evaluation of our technical file for the Rover. CE marking will give us access to the European market and others, including Australia. In parallel, our application to the Australian Therapeutic Goods Administration, which was submitted last August, is still in progress. And while frustratingly slow, a site audit has now been scheduled for later this month, which will bring us closer to ARTG listing, which is an alternative regulatory path to domestic sales opportunities for the Rover. We've also progressed Rover's launch to the veterinary market following integration of new specialized software for animal imaging with our new detector. The voice of customer user trial underway in a small animal veterinary hospital in Adelaide is now highlighting the new workflows and cost savings which Rover can bring in this application. And we're becoming increasingly encouraged at the size of the market, the economics of Rover in veterinary practices. Discussions are well progressed with a number of distributors, and a product launch is planned to coincide with finalizing an Australian distribution agreement at a veterinary conference and exhibition in coming weeks. Turning to our development work on mobile DR, we've continued to make good progress with our high-powered second generation of Rover. I'm pleased to report that the development team has completed the first X-ray images for the Rover Mark II. The new X-ray tube has operated at full power, that's four times the X-ray energy of the Mark I. And we're on track to integrate the new higher-powered X-ray tube and generator into a Rover cart by June of this year. Regulatory testing of the Mark II Rover will then start, and following FDA approval, we expect to be ready to offer this new product for sale in August. Moving on to our second product, the IED X-ray camera, I'm pleased to report that this has now been fully insourced after our strategic decision to end the Thales collaboration. This is so very important in terms of time to market and cost for us, as we can now pursue our own proprietary architecture for this device with its far simpler design and fabrication requirements, while also offering a much smaller and more capable final product. During the quarter, our new product line manager has discussed operational scenarios for the camera with BOM technicians, both here in Australia and overseas. And this has led to a repackaging idea for the product design to achieve a different form factor, or shape in non-technical parlance, which will even further extend the utility of this device, particularly since the design is now well under its target weight. Patent application remains underway, and we look forward to showcasing this product concept at the Army Robotics Exhibition in Brisbane later this month. This expo will provide the first opportunity for explosive ordnance disposal personnel to get a real-life look at the first product. We plan to show how this unique technology will change how rapid assessment of bomb threats can be performed ahead of the first prototype demonstrations at the end of the year. Now to our next security product development, that of a next-generation self-service airport security checkpoint portal. Our U.S. subsidiary MicroX Incorporated has secured new premises in Seattle and is busy recruiting the additional staff required for the kickoff of this project for the TSA. Supported by our head office finance team, the U.S. management focus has been on completing the pre-contract administrative procedures required by the federal acquisition rules with the Department of Homeland Security. These requirements are quite onerous for a company contracting with the U.S. government for the first time, but the Department of Homeland Security officials are hopeful for a planned start date for both TS projects in coming weeks. In the UK, we successfully completed our contract in the Future Aviation Security Solutions Programme with the UK Government's Department for Transport. The outcomes were very well received, and further discussions have been planned regarding opportunities for further related tasks which might complement MicroX's projects for the DHS in America. As I mentioned at the outset, the last pillar in our strategy has been secured after the Australian Stroke Alliance was awarded $40 million from the federal government's Medical Research Future Fund for its Stroke Golden Hour proposal. MicroX, as a technology partner to ASA, has been allocated $8 million for development work in the first 3 years of this project to produce a prototype scanner capable of imaging patients in hospital or mobile settings. Formal contract negotiations with the ASA are now underway, and we are excited to begin our development of the first ring scanner with a curved detector from Fujifilm. We see this as a game changer in the treatment of stroke in coming years. I'll now hand over to Kingsley to run through the corporate and financial activities for the quarter.
Thanks, Peter. Before I get to the financial results, as Peter mentioned, during the quarter we completed a $34 million capital raising at 34 cents a share, consisting of a $30.5 million private placement and a $3.5 million share purchase plan. Both of these were strongly oversubscribed with support from both existing investors and, pleasingly, several new institutional investors joining the register. Subsequent to the raise, we've already repaid the Talus $5 million convertible note and terminated our collaboration agreements with them. Our balance sheet is now strong and the funds raised will enable us to commence the expansion of our US footprint, including the airport self-screening project, expand our sales and marketing capabilities to accelerate mobile DR sales and advance the development of our MBI product. Now turning to the financial results reported in the quarterly and cash flow report lodged on the ASX with our Appendix 4C yesterday. The numbers I'll be referring to are all in Australian dollars and in accordance with ASX listing rules, these are not audited. So for the quarter ended 31 March 2021, the company recorded $750,000 in revenue for its mobile DR units, all shipped and invoiced in the March quarter, and received $1 million in cash from its customers. We also received $1.95 million from the R&D rebate scheme and a further $200,000 in COVID-related government assistance. We had cash outflows from operations of $4.2 million, resulting in net operating cash outflows of $1.1 million for the quarter. We had cash outflows from investing activities of $190,000, primarily related to the purchase of property, plant and equipment for our Tonsley manufacturing activities and some patent application costs. And together with the capital raise mentioned earlier and net of the costs of the offer and repayment of the $5 million to Talus, the company had a cash balance of $38.5 million at the end of the quarter. Looking ahead, forecast cash outflows for the June quarter will increase as a result of the commencement of our planned sales and marketing activities together with the commencement of our US expansion to accommodate both the TSA development work and an increased sales presence in the US. I'll now hand it back to you, Peter.
Thanks, Kingsley. Looking ahead, after experiencing a period of consolidation in the current quarter, our focus will be on execution and delivery. In the coming months, a key element of our activities will be carefully growing internal resources and capacity to manage the workload across multiple large development programs and commercialization activities. The second key objective is to greatly increase our mobile DR sales, particularly with the near-term focus on Rover, obtaining CE marking and ARTG listing, which will give us access to the European and Australian market. A formal launch of Rover in veterinary markets is planned. We look forward to engaging new dealerships in the USA to enlarge hospital access and to completing Rover demonstrations with the US military, which will coincide with our seeking congressional support for program funding. We will remain cautious to ensure over-resourcing does not occur ahead of actual sales traction. We also expect considerably more commercial activity in establishing new distribution and dealership paths to market in Europe. So in summary, we have a number of significant development and commercial initiatives in progress, which are now supported by a strong balance sheet, which will set us up for success in our planned endeavors. I'll now pass you back to the operator, who will commence the Q&A portion of this call.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Scott Power from Morgans Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Peter and Kingsley. Thanks very much for the presentation. My question is around the work or the winding up of the Thales arrangement. Peter, I sort of noticed a real sense of excitement when you were talking about that particular project. Could you just explain what you have achieved in terms of competitive advantage, timing and cost compared to if the Thales arrangement was still in place?
Certainly, Scotty. Good morning. Thanks. Look, the key thing was this invention we made about a year ago, where we changed the imaging dynamics, the way we'd form the backscatter image, and that had the effect of greatly simplifying the product, including the X-ray tube. In the original design, we had a very complex X-ray tube. Was required, and now the tube is really quite simple. So the benefits of bringing this in-house are you know, like anything else that you bring in, it's lower cost. You retain the margin in production yourself, rather than losing it in your supply chain. And of course, the logistics of supply chain is a lot simpler, because all the tubes would be made in our tube facility next door to our assembly line. In terms of competitive advantage, the imaging we've got with this new way is actually better than what we demonstrated to the Australian Department of Defence 3 years ago, and the resolution is really very exciting. So we have our new product line manager has been working through the start of this year, and he's all incredibly well connected with bomb disposal technicians all over the world, and he's already promoting this product and getting a lot of very excited feedback. So there is a real excitement and energy in the air about how effective this product is going to be and how well received the market is going to find it.
Great. So just to confirm that by the end of this calendar year, you expect to have your first prototype available.
The key thing in this is to get is I mean, everybody loves the idea that you don't need to go over the target, as they say, to expose somebody to the risks of the bomb going off while you're trying to get an X-ray image of it. So the next question after that is always, so just how good, because they're used to high resolution X-ray images. They want to know that there's no reduction in image quality from having the standoff image, you know, done entirely by the robot. And you know, we've already satisfied that, but you know, when the prototype's producing that in real time, that's when we think the market excitement will really take off.
Okay, great, thanks. And just one final question for me. I was just interested in your comment that you're noticing a pickup in sales in April. Is that in the US or is it right across the regions you're looking at?
It's across all the regions. And it's not just, I mean, we've seen that from the sales numbers coming through from Carestream, but we're obviously in conversation with a number of other large radiology companies about potential future distribution agreements. And we're hearing the optimism in their voice as well. So it seems to be a bit of a global trend that we're rather happy about.
Okay, great. Thanks, Peter. That's all from me.
Thanks, Scott. Cheers.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Sven Restel from Lodge Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, Peter and Kingsley. Just one thing that I didn't see in the quarterly was an update on the Saab Field Hospitals contract. Can you give an updated timeline on when that's actually occurring?
Yes, happy to do that, and good morning, Stan. Look, the let's be completely honest here. Saab gave us a contract well ahead of when they actually needed the X-ray units for the new deployable hospital for the Australian Army. In the schedule that they'd put together, because the X-ray is the mobile X-ray is a self-contained unit, it was one of the last things they actually needed to buy. But they wanted to do us a favor, because by getting us under contract early, you know, we are officially now a supplier to the Australian Army, and that gives us an extra credibility in all the discussions we're having with the US. And it also changes the status in terms of the you know, defense personnel in the Australian Embassy in Washington DC, who can help us with you know, product testimonials, which they can do when we're, you know, when we are a supplier to the Australian Army, but we can't do before of that. So look, there won't be much activity in terms of the supply for another 18 months, really. But we've got that official status, which they've done for us as a help. We're actually working with them, looking at other markets as well, because Saab Saab headquarters in Sweden have decided that the Australian operation here in Adelaide is now going to become the center of their marketing and business development for deployable hospitals to militaries around the world. So that close partnership with Saab is really important to us.
Okay, thank you. And the second part of the question is, do you need TGA approval for this contract?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yeah, we do, and we'll have we'll have that in plenty of time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We will pause to allow participants to join the queue. There are no further questions at this time. I will now hand back to Peter for closing remarks.
Thank you, Amanda. As you've heard today, we're making great strides across our platform technology and believe we've set the groundwork to achieve stronger results this and next financial year as these initiatives see the progression of the commercialization of our technology. Thank you again for your patience and support and for joining us on this investor call. Look forward to speaking with you again to report on our further progress.